On this episode of the Reflex Blue Show, we bring in Justin Kemmerling and Jake Welchert. Welcome back, everyone, to the Reflex Blue Show. I am your host, Donovan Beery, and today, today we brought in Justin Kemmerling. Justin, how you doing?
Good, Donovan.
And Jake Welchert. Jake?
Hello.
Now, you guys have done a little bit of political work and stuff, and that's what we're going to talk about in a bit. But first, we need to, I told you guys on the last, the listeners on the last show, that we would report back with how Kate White did at the AIJ Command X thing. And we have heard through the grapevine, on the stage, I guess they just gave first place and then whatever, but we were told second place. So, nice. Congratulations, Kate.
That's wonderful.
She represented Omaha well, awesome. So we're very excited. We're very good. We also interviewed her on the Nina Paper blog, which is, I think it's ninapaperblog.com, Against the Grain, so you can check that out there. So, back to Justin and Jake. How long have you guys been designing for politics, and what got you into this thing?
I have no idea.
I mean, because obviously, when people think Omaha, Nebraska, they think... I mean, in the political sense, I think the nation as a whole, when it comes to design, thinks politics starts in D.C., probably New York's number two, Omaha's number three.
Yeah,
so it would make sense that you guys would naturally just gravitate into it.
I definitely have only been in for a little while. I kind of fell into it through Justin. He was actually an instructor of mine in school and kind of got into it.
And where was that at?
Wait, was that that liberal bastion called the University of Nebraska, Lincoln?
Okay.
Where all of the crazy ideas are? So
yeah.
It was a natural fit?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got into the whole idea of designing for something you might kind of care about. I shouldn't say it that way. You care about. And then after school, kind of fell into a role. Other than that, though, that's
how it started. Do you think, and this can go for both parties or whatever, it doesn't matter. Do you think it helps, when you're designing for this, do you think it helps to care about it? Or is it best to not care about it so that you don't get hurt by it?
Sure, I think it's best to care about it, and that's probably why I've been drawn to it so much. Because I like the idea of the design work that you do day to day aligning with, a certain core set of values, I suppose. And so that's where the funnel for me went from the University of Nebraska. Probably took too many English or political science classes or things that weren't design and hung out with too many punk kids. Was in a punk band. And so that sort of foundation was already laid in the crazy basements of the north downtown of Lincoln, or the North Bottoms, if they were called, all the crazy shows. And so then when I was designing, it just sort of, that foundation was laid. And so then I was like, oh, you saw some of these other designers that were doing similar things. And that was of interest. Started with posters.
Okay, and I also know that a lot of times in this industry, you get work based on what you've done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you go to your website, what's your website domain out there for everybody again?
JustinKemmerling.com.
Yeah, and if you go to JustinKemmerling.com, it's very obvious that what type of work you do.
Right. It's a curated set of stuff I'd like to do more of.
Right, and that makes sense. So I assume that helps you get other jobs based on kind of the same ideas.
Yeah, and it seems like it's a very a lot of overlap in the just like kind of group. People who work for Obama's campaign work in the DNC and know someone who works for this nonprofit or that nonprofit or this organization that needs this or working on this campaign, and it can change based on what issues are being discussed, like if it's a pipeline or if it's fracking or if it's voting rights, and then a lot of the groups will work on those issues either together, and then the design people can come into that and already kind of know the people and have a rapport with the people that are sort of the organizers or community activists in that role.
And this is where I think, what we want to talk about is like, this is a kind of a different subset of design. Like, and I realize like if you're a freelancer, or you run for an agency or anything like that, there's constant turnover on clients. We get a client, we keep them for a while. Sometimes you have a client, you do one project. I assume that because a lot of your work is done for, if it's done for a political campaign, once they're elected or not elected, that client's gone.
Yeah.
Is there a higher turnover, or am I just imagining things here?
I think it honestly depends on what type of work you're doing. For me, if you're talking about the campaign specifically, it was all in-house. So client work.
I mean, and we should mention, you guys actually worked in-house on the Barack Obama for President campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I was out of house.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jake, you...
I was in-house in Chicago at the headquarters, and it was in Chicago.
Okay, and you just worked from Omaha, because obviously that's the hotbed around.
Right, the hotbed, all the stuff that was going on. They had like a secondary sort of creative group that was run by this lady in New York, and they had an office or satellite office in New York that me and some other designers would work for, doing lots of shareable graphics and things to just pass around that were sort of supplementary to what Jake was doing and the rest of the campaign was doing.
It was funny because we would see a lot of their work come through, and our team specifically wouldn't really know what people are working on, you know, but we'd get things that, we could tell who was designing what and where they were designing from. And
now, since the Obama campaign probably, out of all political things, probably had the largest staff of designers. Like, that's probably the largest in-house company.
Yeah, this time around, we had 18 designers, two people who acted as art directors, creative directors, and then a couple project managers. So the team was fairly big itself, but then again, you had interactive, you had print, a merch-specific team, and then some people who did front-end design specifically. So
now, was that weird for you to actually have to move to a place just for a job that was a temporary thing? I mean, because that's also something that seems a little bit more unique about this type of freelance work than standard.
That was definitely the interesting part from the get-go, is I knew the job was going to be done in November no matter what. I mean, even if he lost, whatever, if he won, I knew nothing was going to keep going. So besides some freelance work here and there, so... I always planned to move back to Omaha. I moved out there in January of 2012. So I was on it about a year, ended in November, and then did some freelance stuff for the next couple months. It was definitely interesting because you knew there was an end goal. You knew that stuff didn't matter. We liked to screw around a lot in the office. You know, we weren't going to get in trouble with things. We knew it was coming to an end, so as long as we showed up, did the work.
Right, if you were a little bit lax on the dress code in October, well, you didn't really care.
There was never a dress code, we'll say that.
Okay.
Jeans, t-shirts, and we were there so much that it was pretty much, you know, as long as you're comfortable, get through it. It was quite the experience. I think the biggest thing that I took from it was just, you know how to pace yourself, because we were there. It was ridiculous, you know, 6 and 7 days a week, 10 to 12 hour days. And it's just like, you can't design that much and not get burnout. So I think I learned how to overlook that now.
What was it that helped you, what kind of things do you do if you have to work that much to not get burned out? Do they have people to come in and help with that? Or?
They would bring people in the office and kind of boost morale with things. But it was such a, things change every day, whether it was the one thing we were designed for, like a policy issue, something that went through the press, something that happened that was good, something that was happened that was bad. I mean, there was always something that was pretty entertaining, so it was pretty easy to be there. A lot of the people we worked with were pretty lighthearted. They gave a shit about the campaign, but we just wanted to have fun, so.
And I assume that the one thing about designing for this type of stuff compared to other things is that everybody that works with you actually is like, has the same kind of thoughts on culture and society. And
and
you probably work with, where, like, if you work in a corporation, you work with a whole swath of the general public or whatever. I assume that you're much more with like-minded people, regardless of what campaign you are, because you're on that campaign.
Right. It makes the work a little more, maybe not more interesting, just kind of different in a way, but you start on like a similar page. It's like you have kind of like the same goal already, or it's like you're working towards the same goal and like you fulfill different roles, and everybody, for the most part, in my experience with the campaign and other like nonprofits and activist groups that I work with, like everybody kind of just respects each other's skills and is just sort of left to do those skills. And because things are moving fast, everybody's really busy trying to get a bunch of things done. Budgets may be stretched or tight or whatever. So everybody's just kind of like, hey, we're on the same team here. We're working towards the same goal. And I mean, in a lot of that stuff, the campaign issue stuff, a lot of it can be, you know, it's kind of like a cage match. It's not, everybody's not, we're not trying to like all like come together and have a kumbaya moment. It's like right. We're trying to work towards a specific goal. So it's like that sort of brings people together tightly on that team, and it can have a mutual benefit for everybody involved. It's like, you know, you're all working together towards the same goal, and it just sort of makes things a little different than how I've experienced teams with like a traditional agency. I mean, it's not better or worse.
Undercutting, people in rooms like backstabbing each other. Right.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah.
Now maybe that's because you guys were working on a winning campaign.
Right.
Well, I think next if you guys next campaign you get on when your candidate loses, we'll talk to you again and see if it's the same.
It was all him.
Yeah.
No, I definitely agree. I think the idea that you know you're there for a reason and you all feel the same way. I mean, in my case, it was the campaign for the president. So of course we wanted him to win. There have been some things that, you know, up and down here and there that are a little frustrating, but while you're there, I mean, that's the end goal. So everybody works to that. And if there are people that are doing too much, taking on too much, they want to hog all the work. It really doesn't fly, and people know how to fall in line, I guess.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the office environment itself. All right, so the big question is, because you guys actually worked for the guy that got elected as the President of the United States, which is a pretty big client. You know, he's out there, and it's a billion. You know, we talked about there what we consider was a failed poster campaign on the show a while back, where they did like a spec competition and stuff. But and I think Drew Davies mentioned, he's like, he made a point. He's like, it's a $1 billion company you guys are working for, because they're raising like $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So how close do you get to the top? Does Mr. Obama, President Obama, ever stop by? Did he shake hands? Did you ever get to meet the guy?
Yes, I did.
Oh, wow.
Couple times. He came to the office 3 times. First Lady came in a few times. Biden came by. He's a jokester. but
I have a feeling you got a wedgie from Biden.
Biden,
I can see that.
It's like, what are the hand buzzers? You know, I expect him to always have one of those.
And the flower that sprays water, yeah.
Barack came by the office a couple times. Let's see, actually it was like 2 weeks after I started, and I didn't expect him to come in, and everybody said that he wouldn't because he didn't really stop by the 08 campaign, and 2 weeks in.
He's got a lot of things to do.
just a couple.
He's a busy guy.
Just
a
couple. No, but he came in, and you know, there's a big get together. He talked to the whole office, and at that point there were about 300 people working. That was in January, and then so it was pretty neat, and it was pretty short lived. And then he came again in July, hung out for a while, and actually stayed for like 5 or 6 hours and walked around the office, talked to people. And at that time there were quite a few. I think there were like 450 people at that time. And then actually the day after the election, he came back in again and gave a talk and stayed like the whole day and went around and talked to people. And it was probably the best part of the whole thing. It was
right,
way to wrap it up. He showed up and came around and talked to us, gave everybody a hug and said thank you. But it was, you know, just a pretty nice way to wrap it up.
Sure.
It was the least he could do.
It was the least he could do.
Giving everyone a heart attack after that first debate.
It was a shit show.
Yeah, so like, I mean, because you guys have that where everything you guys are doing is based on things that are being handled on national media, national news at this point. When a debate like that goes bad, does that just all of a sudden the next day just go terrible, like in the office?
During and I was working, the lady that I worked with, we were like Skype back and forth like during the debate and trying to come up with themes or things to sort of design around and pull out. There was, in the second debate, there was some battleship reference that he made. So
it was
that got worked in. So some of those kind of like weirder things happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can tell like when it's going bad, like that the first one was just not very good, and like the campaign headquarters wasn't going well, and like they were just kind of, everybody was kind of just scrambling.
I think at that point we were pretty tired and we didn't know how the next couple months were going to be. And after that first debate, the campaign manager called everybody in the main room the next day. I just remember because they seemed depressed. It was like, wow, that was a horrible first showing, which it was. But he said, I just got off the phone with Barack. It's not going to happen again. Get back to work. And that was it. And that's kind of how fast things moved. It was like, well, that was a poor showing. We're moving on. Next debate.
So. Now, what are the deadlines like in this stuff? Because of stuff like that, I assume you guys have to do, like, when you're working on a campaign, if a debate like that, you guys have to have graphics out probably the next day or within an hour or something.
Yeah, for the debates, for me, it was that night. And then a lot of the stuff was, because it was kind of like, you know, this is a piece of news, this is a thing we want to sort of focus on. If you can get it done, great. Well, there's a good chance it'll get posted. And, you know, for like in that sort of social, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, the website itself, like, having stuff go out on that was like, you know, pretty cool because of the millions of likes or whoever, like how many people follow Obama's like Facebook page and stuff. Right. So it saw like a lot of people. And, you know, and just,
yeah, there's a good chance that everyone that's listening has seen some of your guys' work, regardless.
Yeah, if you're a Democrat and on Facebook, you probably have.
Or, it's been
sick. Or if you're just on Facebook because it got shared by your friend, and you hit, like, the words are dislike, it doesn't matter. Right, 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 saw it. Right.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point about the debates. Usually we, at the office, we had a team that stayed late, and they were the rapid response team. Basically, they were like three or four designers who were really fast at just pushing out the share graphics, and they would push them out to social media, and they were just stupid response graphics, basically making fun of anything that Mitt Romney said. So it was more or less, that was the fun.
And the fun part, like, of it. The vice presidential one was, like, really fun.
Yeah.
Because like, well, that was just an entertainment.
He said so many horrible things.
And, like, if you watch, like, because you had the Twitter thing going, and then you had, like, me and the lady would be Skyping back and forth, this, like, video playing, my wife's there. It's just hilarious. Like, it was, like, a lot of fun. Because he did, like, for our side, I mean, Biden did relatively well. Mm-hmm. So it was good, and then it was just super entertaining in general.
Yeah, as I said, that was the most entertaining presidential or vice presidential debate I watched, as far as entertainment value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So out of everything you guys worked on, what was the favorite thing that you got that you did on any political campaign so far? Like, what type of, has there been a project where you're like, that is what I want to do more of?
I had one towards the end, and it was a set of like 8 share graphics that was focused on his sort of big buckets of accomplishments. So it was like health reform, the ending of the Iraq War, repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So there was like these 8 big buckets, and we made like a share graphic for each of those. And so for me, it was like focusing on this sort of positive achievements. I mean, that's why I voted for the guy. That's why I would vote for him again. Like, it was less about the sort of snarky jabs and punches being thrown. It was more like something you could sort of put up as being like, this is what we sort of stand for.
And like in 2-3 years, you'll still look at it and be like, I like that piece.
I like that piece. And so it's, you know, it was kind of illustrative and typographic based and in my style, and like it was pushed out everywhere. So, I mean, that was sort of something that I look back on the experience and be like, yeah, those were solid. And I like those.
I think for me, I should say that a couple months in the campaign, I kind of got switched over from interactive to a print team, and we did a lot of like the state literature. So we do brochures and posters and stuff like that. And I think one of the biggest things that I worked on that probably take the most pride in was like a poster that it folded up into a brochure, and it was all about how the president's policies affect young Americans, students. And they handed it out on campuses the last like month and a half of the election, and they printed, I think it was like 6 million of these, and then we did a smaller version that they printed more of those, and we actually hashtagged it, and people started taking photos of it and putting it up on Instagram under the Young Americans. So you'd go through their feed and see them, you know, holding up your print work from, you know, a couple, maybe 100 photos a day for like 2 weeks. We've just collect all these photos. So
right.
That was pretty neat. It was a big print piece. And then actually, a project that I didn't work on that the design team, a couple of them did, they were working on the interactive team, but they did a project called The Life of Julia. And we basically designed... It was a fictional character, and we showed her throughout her life, so ages like 6, 10, 15, 20, and we said, this is Julia at this age, she's going through this, this is how the president's policies affected her. Wasn't a big deal. It was a really well-illustrated site. They put it out. It was just like a one-off page, and within like 2 days, it had gone up on like Fox News and CNN, and they were making fun of it and tearing it apart, and people were like taking down the code and rewriting it and putting it up on another URL. So we were getting all this like negative backlash from the right side. So that was a cool project. Got made fun of like on The Daily Show, on Jon Stewart.
Yeah, it was.
They like reenacted it.
Yeah, and, whole skit. It was yeah, so awesome.
They had Kristen, one of the other anchors, come in, and she was Julia.
Yeah,
and
like
they made
like
fun of her.
So like we do, you know, I mean, as designers, we do work that's visual, so people have opinions. I know a lot of times a client will say they don't like it,
yeah.
Or people may see it and they may not like it. You know, if you're going for one target audience, other people, but like most work doesn't make it to where Jon Stewart's doing skits making.
Well, yeah. It's yeah. Funny though. You take that as on the design team for a while, we were kind of like, wow, this is, you know, this is awesome. This is getting pushed out, and then you start to feel like, oh shit, maybe this is a bad thing. People are making fun of it. They're tearing it apart. And we had the digital director come over and he said, this is the best thing for us now. Keep putting out work like this. We need this kind of reaction, because it's not the fact that it's a bad reaction, it's the fact that it's sparking conversation.
Yeah, like how it bled into the culture so much, like not like the content, mm-hmm. the like style, like yeah. They would mimic that, like the illustration type style. It's just mm-hmm. awesome. Like, I mean, a lot of times you get like feedback or comments on like the content or like the statement, or like not as much like around the actual visual design of something, but right. That was totally like they were just tearing it apart, and
yeah.
It was really interesting to see it just like negative to positive, and like such commentary around it was really good.
And we did talk. We did say we were going to talk about the office environment. I heard that the restrooms there. I heard an offhand mention before we started recording.
Yeah, I made a joke to you about the restrooms, hoping that you wouldn't bring it up. But really, I wanted you to, because it was probably the worst environment known to man. There were...
Biden's just peeing all over the floor.
It was horrible. I mean, you think we had one restroom. Our office was on one floor. So we had probably 250 guys throughout the day using this. And we were there...
And you guys are 16 hours a day or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, long hours. It was like you'd have your breakfast, your lunch, maybe sometimes dinner, and by like... 3 o'clock, if you had to use the restroom, you were either taking a trip across the street or I guess you just fought through it. But yeah, it was pretty bad.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, I won't even describe it. We'll leave it.
You guys should
have
unionized. They unionized yeah. And demanded cleaner.
Down in the Mastercraft, if you don't flush those urinals, man, there are notes going up on the wall. People are upset.
Yeah, now you're not feeling so bad you didn't have to go down to Chicago.
Yeah.
Sure. All right, we'll be right back to wrap this up. All right, so before we go, I got to ask if our listeners out there, if anyone wants to get into doing like political design work for any sort of, you know, campaign of any whatever, or for a political organization, how do you recommend getting into it?
I would say that I've been a designer for a decade, you know, right? Jake, a little younger.
You realize, so I like, just realized that I have now been doing this podcast for like 8 years.
Decade is the most, and it's fun to say decade.
And
you have to
but I realized that because of this, I have now just passed. I've been doing this podcast for over half the time I've been a professional designer.
Oh,
just
awesome.
Over.
That's impressive.
Awesome.
So I'm over a decade of design.
Keep it
yeah.
going.
Yeah.
I'll be like 16 years in January.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Okay, so you've been yeah. doing this for a decade.
Well, I really like what Jake did when he went to Chicago, took the risk, did it. Like, that's awesome. And I think
did you just apply? Did you call a president on the phone?
I called him up as a red phone. If you buy a red phone, like a Goodwill, it directs right to the president.
Well, the good red phones only have the one button. So you know it's going to be the dial for you.
Yeah, it's a big button. No, actually, it was a connection through Justin. And that's kind of what I was going to suggest as far as getting into politics. I kind of latched on to Justin when I was in school because he was doing something that I was inspired by and I cared about, like finding something you want to design that it means something or is for an organization or cause that you care about. And I had done a few poster shows, some small projects, was looking into getting into more, and I got an email from a guy named Josh Higgins. He was the design director, and he said, hey, you should come work for Barack Obama, you should apply. And I was like, that's spam. So I didn't reply to that and then waited a few more days, and then I got another email saying, hey, Justin Kimmerling dropped your name. Actually want you to apply.
And so you're like, man, these spams even dropped Justin's name.
I just remember seeing it like, that's complete bullshit. I'm not going to do that. But yeah, then I was really into it, and Justin, how was it? You had known him through like a poster show and stuff like that. So
your goal is to find other people in the room, get
their connection. I think if that's my advice,
and if there's an opportunity to just move out of Omaha because there's only so much here.
Well, I think getting involved in something that you care about and something that's maybe smaller, starting small, and talk to Justin. Right? No, but I mean that's how I got into it. It was a fortunate name drop, but besides that, you know, I hope to continue with working with clients that are doing something that I care about.
Yeah, I think, yeah, my advice is to design your work. Like, I love what he did. I love, like, the designers that I see that are, like, really inspiring, young and middle of the roads. You know, designers who work at their church, designers who work for a startup, designers who work in politics, designers who are like, you know, they design for themselves and they have a product or whatever. Like, I think it's just cool that, like, it's part of just being, not only do you design for, like, the idea of graphic design, but it's like you're designing your actual job. And I think that's that's sweet. And it takes a certain sort of push to do that. You start your own thing or whatever. Like, there's other routes you can go besides just, like, getting a job at an agency. Like, that's fine, but like some people just don't want to do that, and it's cool to see it, like, more and more people in Omaha or elsewhere, that these design firms that are, like, socially conscious, and like Firebelly in Chicago or some other small shops that are, like, that's sort of what they do. Like, it's inspiring to see, and I think that
we'll see where, like, the political hubs are, as we talked about, DC, New York, Omaha. The design hubs are, I think, just go New York, Omaha, DC.
Yes, we're two there.
Yeah,
And then if you're smart, you don't have to work with not just Omaha folks.
Okay.
Spread out.
I think it's funny that you mentioned Omaha as being, I mean, there are a lot of small shops that do some pro bono work or do work for specific organizations that they, you know, they know is doing some good for the world. I would talk about some of these smaller shops to people that I was working with in Chicago, and they thought the idea was crazy. Like, they're not doing client work, they just really didn't get that. And I think it shows that Omaha is good at that. And I think Omaha's got a great design scene, and it really surprised some of the people that I showed, you know, when I was working with them.
Well, so we're going to wrap up, but I'm going to ask you guys, first, Justin, what are you up to now? It's justinkimmerling.com. It's your work. Yes. what's the big project you're working on that you can actually talk about or something? Or is there
Well, we're still trying to stop the Keystone XL pipeline, Bold, Nebraska. So that's kind of ongoing. It's been ongoing for several years.
Okay.
But aside from that, there's a project with the Union for Contemporary Art in North Omaha, which is like this community center art-focused sort of place where they have fellows that come there and stay in residence. They have community gardens. They have pizza cookouts and other sort of like just food get-togethers, reasons to sort of bring the community together, and so we're doing like the branding for that, which is really exciting. It's really fun, like a community-focused project to sort of bring people together around a sort of common goal of like, let's make this community better, let's make Omaha better, let's make this place, like, through art and
Sounds terrible.
Sounds, yeah. That's like the other side. That's like, hey, this is kumbaya. We want this to like work. So
no, that's exciting. That's wonderful stuff. So yeah. And I assume when you work with something like that, you're working directly with people who are actually doing it.
Right. Yeah. So it's, if we meet with the fellows or the executive director, she's in it all the time. So like we meet with her and work through the brand and the logo, and then like their sort of communications committee, and so yeah, it's definitely a fun project.
Great. And Jake, where do people go to find out more about your work?
Actually, it's just my name, jakewelchert.com. I wish I had enough time and wasn't lazy and could get some work up, which I hope to sooner or later. But yeah, right now I'm working with actually a couple startups that I met this summer, working on getting their websites up and running, working with a community organizing group out of San Francisco called Peers. And they do community organizing basically for the sharing economy, so Airbnb and organizations like that that are all about sharing. So I've been doing some information design and some branding for them and trying to get people aware of them.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for being on the show. It's great to have you on. And we'll be back, for your listeners, we'll be back in, it sounds like, a couple weeks, and we're going to wrap up season 6, and then after that, I think we'll be back in January or something, I don't know.
Nice. February. 2014?
Depends on how cold it gets.
Yeah.
It gets cold here. It's starting to get cold today.
Yeah. Thanks for having us, Donovan.
Yeah, thank you.
This was fun.
Thanks for listening to The Reflex Blue Show. For more information, visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show was created by Donovan Beery and Nate Voss. Music by Ben Luters.